Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ this fine day. So, are you a rule follower or a rule questioner? Do you seek order by upholding the laws and regulations, or are you one who likes to test the boundaries of our societal guidelines to see if there's a better way? For the most part, I find my comfort in knowing that laws and rules are in place for us, for our communities, to be safe. And hopefully, the outcome is that we all live better lives. But if the rule doesn't make sense to me, I often question why it was created in the first place. We have rules to play sports, like boundaries. We have time limits, we have procedures to follow. In basketball, you are allowed 1.5 steps before shooting the ball. Unless one is in the NBA, then you get 2.5 steps. Or if you're LeBron James, it really doesn't matter. So probably not a good example. But we have laws for driving. We have many laws. We have speed limits, seat belts, age limits, driver education classes, all to keep people safe, or at least safer. So it is interesting to hear this gospel today in reference to washing hands, as we are living in a time when washing our hands can keep us safer. Granted, it has always been a great idea to wash hands. As a child, our parents told us to wash up or wash your hands because it's time to eat. And so today we are told to wash our hands even more frequently as a suggestion, not a rule or a law, but washing our hands to help in preventing the spread of viruses. The washing of our hands by the Pharisees and the Judeans was not a law either. They were traditions of the elders, yet the Pharisees were strict disciplinarians of following the tradition of the elders. The last thing they wanted was to be defiled. To be defiled meant that you could not be in the presence of God. In their world, one must be totally clean before they could encounter God. In their daily lives, in worship, in the temple, or in the Holy of Holies. And one could become defiled very easily, simply touching somebody who wasn't clean, or who was touching somebody who was unclean. So at the beginning of COVID, our lives must have mimicked that of the Pharisees, bringing home groceries and wiping them down before we put them into our kitchen cupboards, keeping 6-foot distance from one another, not shaking hands when we greet one another. Shoot, most of the time we just stayed home, not to have contact with others. The only difference, we are fearful of catching a virus. The Pharisees were fearful of withdrawing themselves from God. So when the Pharisees and some of the scribes saw that Jesus' disciples were not keeping with the traditions of the elders, they began to question why. Now, a quick sidebar. To make something clear, and this comes from Dr. Corey Driver, the director of transformational leadership in the IK Synod. Pharisees were not evil or bad. In the time of the Second Temple, they were the radical equalizers. As more responsibility and power and importance had been placed on the priests and the servants of the temple, the Pharisees would claim, no, stop. God comes to everyone. God loves everyone. It's one of the reasons Jesus hung out with the Pharisees and why they were popular with the common folk. They thought you must be ready for God to come to you. Therefore, one should always be ritually clean, undefiled, so that you would be ready in case God came to you. Pharisees would keep the tradition of the elders to be ready at any moment for the appearance and the arrival of the holy. In this situation, the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, why do some of your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders and not wash their hands? Now, Jesus is not against washing hands. I feel confident that Jesus probably washed his hands thoroughly. Notice they didn't ask him why he didn't wash his hands. They only asked about some of his disciples. But this upsets Jesus, proven by his reaction and calling them hypocrites. Now, this word defile is a broad term. On one end of the spectrum, one could be defiled by touching blood or a corpse or eating with unclean hands, but that didn't mean the person was sinful. Think of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. Her condition was not sinful, but her issue made her ritually unclean or defiled. On the other end of the defilement spectrum are actions of evil. The ones that Jesus brings to our attention, such as the loopholes the Pharisees had created with their traditions. In the verses that we skip in the common lectionary, common revised lectionary, we hear, "Then he said to them, 'You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells mother or father, whatever support you might have for whatever support you might have had from me is korban, that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this.'" So Jesus is pointing out the tradition of the elders, which the Pharisees hold, are not always for the benefit of the law of God. Rather, they merely give excuses not to follow the law of God. For those who wish to keep their money or actually not give it to their parents, this korban loophole was created so that instead of giving financial aid or using funds to care for their mother and father, they could put these funds into the korban account, which meant it was reserved and separated to give to God. The temple would receive the funds, but the commandment was ignored. Jesus is telling them, if you want to talk about defilement, let's put everything out on the table. What are the real issues at hand, and what are the laws that are important? Then Jesus goes back to the crowd and says, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile." The Pharisees are worried about Jesus' disciples breaking the traditions of the elders and therefore becoming defiled. Jesus is making the point that evil traditions are not where our concerns should be. Jesus is pointing to the evil on the inside. In Mark 21, we hear, "For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Jesus uses this list of intentions for a purpose. This is where we are challenged to think a little bit. When you hear about this list, what do they have in common? Here's a hint. Think about the Ten Commandments. These intentions show the evil within us that can hurt our fellow human beings. These evil intentions are how we hurt our relationship with each other and the creation. Jesus is saying, let's go back and get on track. What is our mission? Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These are the commandments that help us stay safe. These are the rules that allow us to stay safe in the game of life. These are the regulations we should forever follow and keep on the forefront of our mind. Jesus is trying to explain to the Pharisees what is truly important. Again, washing our hands is important, even vital during a pandemic. But Whether we eat with unclean hands or wash them thoroughly enough is not what will defile us from God. The gift of the law, these statutes and ordinances, were one of the first presents from God, as we heard in our first reading from Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is given you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. This is not something transactional, meaning we do not follow the commandments, these statutes and ordinances to receive the love of God. Rather, we follow the laws because God intercedes for us and forms a relationship with us. We follow the laws in response to what God has done for us. God gave them to us to live fuller lives in relationship with God and with others. And when God saw that we could not fulfill the law on our own, God came down to us, incarnate in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, to begin to again save us from our own sin. Jesus came to fulfill the law. In James, we hear every generous act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every generous act of giving, every perfect gift is from God. Jesus and the commandments, law and gospel, are perfect gifts of God. Martin Luther explains, of course I had to put a Martin Luther quote in here because our intern is right in seminary right now. Remind her that we keep these things important. But Martin Luther explains the gifts in three main purposes for the law. In lay person's terms, it provides a safe place for those who follow it. Those who break it, the law, have consequences, and therefore all people are held accountable. It acts like a mirror showing us we are sinful, and therefore we should run towards the grace of God. And three, the law provides a fixed rule to which we are to regulate and direct our whole lives. The law allows us freedom to enjoy life to the full, just as rules in the game keep people safe and give them the freedom to play, maybe even take more than 2.5 steps. No matter if you are a rule follower or one who likes to test the rules, the bottom line, the true test for any rule is, does it help protect you and your neighbor? And here's the quote from Martin Luther. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is perfectly dutiful. Is a perfectly dutiful servant of all and subject to all. We are saved by grace and therefore free of all and subject to none. Yet our response to God's good gifts, we are dutiful servants of all and subject to all. As God has blessed us with good gifts, we are called to want and do the same for our neighbor. Whatever is good to protect our neighbor is good. It's a good response to the gift we have in God's love. Jesus reminds the Pharisees, who are not all bad, what is really important: our relationship with God and how we care for and protect others is what's important. Nothing has changed today. We are to do what we can to protect our neighbors, welcome the immigrants, care for the orphans and the widows. So the next time you find yourself in a debate with yourself or someone else about how to care for the neighbor, evil is not found in a mask or vaccines or immigration or caring for refugees. It is in our own heart, which God has called and claimed. In this promise, we can rest and then be servant of all and subject to all. For Jesus has given this example. Jesus is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none, and perfectly dutiful, subject of all, and servant of all. Amen.